So our reading this morning comes from Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, "These are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands." These are the words. "I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance. I know that you cannot tolerate evildoers. You have tested those who claim to be apostles, but are not, and have found them to be false. I also know that you are enduring patiently and bearing up for the sake of my name, and that you have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember then from what you had fallen. Repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. Yet this is to your credit. You hate the works of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Let anyone who has an ear listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. To everyone who conquers, I will give permission to eat from the tree of life that is in the paradise of God." This is the first of the seven letters to the early churches recorded by John. If we read all seven, we'll notice that five of them contain a call to repentance for immorality, for false teaching, and for losing their first love. And in most, if not all, of these instances, we may be able to recognize ourselves. The good news is that our failure to be the people that God would have us be doesn't remove us from his care. His call to repentance is a sign of his continuing grace and the constant opportunity to be restored to relationship with him. The background, I want to give you a very full background of what the situation was in Ephesus that John was writing into. John of Patmos was a pastor of the late first century. He had worship on his mind. In fact, the vision, which is the revelation, comes to him while he's at worship on a Sunday morning on the Mediterranean island of Patmos. He's responsible for a circuit of churches on the mainland whose primary task is worship. Worship shapes the human community in response to the living God. If worship is neglected or perverted, our communities fall into chaos or under tyranny. It was never a good or easy time to worship in John's time, or in parts of the world at this time. The world is hostile to worship. Satan hates worship. Today, as back then, people get killed because they worship God. Roman authorities at this time were beginning to enforce the cult of emperor worship. Christians who believed that Christ, not the emperor, was Lord, were facing increasing hostility. Some in the church were advocating a policy of compromise. This had to be corrected, lest its subtle influence undermine believers' determination to stand firm in the perilous days that lay ahead. John writes to encourage the faithful to resist staunchly the demands that they worship the emperor. He informs his readers that the final showdown between God and Satan is imminent. Satan will increase his persecution of believers, but they must stand firm, even to death. They are sealed against any spiritual harm and will soon be vindicated when Christ returns, when the wicked are forever destroyed, and when God's people enter an eternity of glory. When this letter was written, the church at Ephesus would have been more than 40 years old. Another generation had arisen. The younger generation didn't experience that intense enthusiasm, the spontaneity which their parents had shown when they first came into contact with the gospel. Not only this, but they also lacked devotion to Christ. The church had departed or abandoned their first love. They're commended for their deeds, their work, and their patience, their ability to remain faithful in tough situations of persecution. They were even able to stay strong and not be taken in by false teachers. How can this Ephesian church have lost their first love? This is a good question and a good lesson for us to learn, because our personal and corporate faith lives can so easily fall into the same trap. Lesson 1. Remain God-centered, not self-centered. Too often, especially when we've been believers for a long time, there's a great danger that we'll perform acts of faith without any love. Marriages run into the same trouble when the outward form remains, but the inward quality of caring love is missing. Similarly, a church member can be very regular at church, but in spite of that, may not be as devoted to the Lord as they once were. Maybe we can understand this problem better if we define the word love and look at reasons why we're likely to lose it. What might have been the problem afflicting the church at Ephesus? Were they tired of putting up with the daily stance of being Christians against all the cultural temptations? Were they weary of the struggle? Or did they regret their strong stand against false doctrine? It seems primarily in their works of faith they'd lost track of their motivation. You see, the work wasn't to be loved for itself, but as a means to a greater end, as an expression of their commitment and devotion to the one who held the seven stars in his hand. Friends, we all run into this danger when we use our spiritual gifts. At first, in response to God's grace, we love doing what our gifts enable us to do. We know great joy in fulfilling what we were created to do, in celebrating who we truly are, in freely serving the Lord according to God's master plan. We may grow physically weary in our service, but when love inspires us, we get new energy and enthusiasm in the midst of the tasks. The problem is that we often start loving our ministries for the wrong reason, seeing the tasks as the end rather than the means. Then our service becomes self-centered instead of God-centered. People-pleasing rather than God-pleasing. We may choose to do them because they bring us human happiness and affirmation, rather than because they are ways to respond to God who designed them for us to do. Remember what Paul said to the Ephesians? For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what he has made us, created us in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. Lesson 1. Remain God-centered, not self-centered. Lesson 2. Love needs to be nurtured. We know from the marriage relationship, or in fact any friendship, for love to remain strong, it has to be nurtured daily. The desire to retain our first love invites us to spend time each day with the Lord in the scriptures, meditating on them, spending time in prayer, talking to him, as well as listening to him. This takes discipline. The original Greek word used in this letter to the Ephesian church was our word, abandoned. They'd abandoned their first love. What about us and our first love? Have we nurtured it or abandoned it? The Ephesian Christians were extraordinary in many ways. Their continued patience in affliction, their faithful performance of good works, their battles against evil and false doctrines tell us they were tremendously devout people. But this letter reminds us that no matter how active our Christian faith, if we're not motivated by love, then to use Paul's words, we're an empty gong or a clanging cymbal. And we don't serve God's best purposes for us or others. Lesson 1, remain God-centered, not self-centered. Lesson 2, love needs to be nurtured. Lesson 3, the church will suffer for its lack of love. The seriousness of the problem is demonstrated by the threat to the church that their lampstand, their witness, which caused the light to shine in the midst of the darkness of the world, would be removed if they didn't repent. There's a price to be paid for not repenting. The threat was fulfilled. There is today no church in Ephesus. It is a ruin. The tourist bus leaves you at the top of the main street and you walk down amongst all the ruins. And at the end is that beautiful library that's on all the tourist brochures. Beautiful building, but it's a ruin. And as you get to the bottom of the hill, you turn right where all the touristy stalls are. And there's this big sign, genuine fake watches for sale, e.g. Rolex. No church, but genuine fake watches. On the positive side, the message to the Ephesians stresses that if they do repent of their abandoned love, they'd inherit eternal life and so be given permission to eat from the tree of life in God's paradise. Friends, these lessons are important. To remain God-centered, not self-centered. Love needs to be nurtured. We need to spend time with God. And the church will suffer for its lack of love. And lesson four, God's remedy for lovelessness. Christ so wants us to be in love with his Father and himself that he makes it possible for us to be nurtured in that love through his gift of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit makes Christ's presence always available to us as the High Priest who guides us to focus on his Father in adoration and praise. Love dies when it's not fed. Such a simple principle, but so easily forgotten. Love dies from malnourishment. It was such a major problem that John's letter warning of its danger comes first in the seven letters. Friends, many of us have been Christians for a long time. Have we nurtured and kept alive our first love? Or have loyalty, habit, cynicism, critical attitudes, and feelings of, I have to, I must, I should have, I've got to, or any other motivations overtaken our first love in serving Christ and his church? It's easy to let this happen. Let's be aware and take an honest stock take of ourselves before God. Any church, any Christian, at any time is capable of losing their first love. Those of you who haven't been Christians so long, what are you doing to nurture and keep that first love you have for Jesus? As a church, a body of believers in this suburb, Stoke, have we kept our first love? Remember, the church at Ephesus was praised for its work and endurance, but that wasn't good enough. It was love God was looking for then and still looks for now. My prayer is that we'll grow in our love for God and Jesus and for each other and be a shining light in Stoke with people saying about us, see how they love one another. Let me close with the words of Jesus, reminding the Pharisees of the great commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. Let's bow in prayer.